Welcome to the Summoning Hour.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the first podcast episode of the year. 2020 is going to be a big year for me. There's going to be more podcasts, with three of them being run, Summoning Hour being one of them, as well as more travel opportunity for myself to go to primarily collegiate esports events, but still looking at things like DreamHack Anaheim or maybe some conference championships going on, and that will be exciting. But for now, this episode is back to where it all started, Mississippi State Esports, and I got Jason DeShong back, and he is the president, and he was my first guest way back when, so that's exciting to have him back. And he brought on some other VIPs of the executive board, which is great to get to know and see where the club's going. I think you'll enjoy this podcast. It's a great catch-up. It's a great representation of the spirit and the dedication that MSU has, but then also what runs through all of collegiate esports' veins. So sit back, enjoy. I'm going to recover from this head cold and hopefully keep pumping out some more podcasts for y'all. Take a listen. Let me know what you think. Leave messages, anchor.fm/thesummoninghour/message. Anyways, here you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first podcast of the Summoning Hour podcast for the year 2020. And we're going back to where it all began with my first collegiate esports podcast guests, Mississippi State University Esports. We're joined by Jason DeShong, president still? President?
Yeah, the right role? Still to this day, for a little bit at least.
So we got President Jason DeShong. He's our first guest. And now we have Josh above me and Jacob beside me, according to my layout, at least on Discord, and what's going out to the stream. So that's all that matters. But we have new members joining us. There's obviously a lot going on. You all have put on your second esports Egg Bowl. Lost your first esports Egg Bowl, so that's a little salt in the wound and a chip on the shoulder for this coming year. But we have that going on. So there's obviously been a lot going on with the club, and why don't we start with the new faces? So Jacob, why don't you tell us a little bit about your origin story and how you got involved with the club?
So I got involved with the club. It's probably been we said like 3 years the other day. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been about three. I started 2017 I started.
Yeah, so I started shortly after Jay. He was president for a while, and then I actually reached out to the Overwatch team is what I started with. I reached out through Facebook. I wanted to play on the team. I didn't know how good the team was. I didn't know anything about it. I just wanted to play. So I got on the team. I played a little bit on the team. I met Jay through that team as well, and I just kind of we became friends through that team and started hanging out more and more. And then I got to see like some of the stuff that he does with the club, and I kind of just latched onto it. And it was really interesting to like be a part of something like that. So I came on as treasurer at the beginning, and then So I was treasurer for a little bit, and then we had elections, and I ran for vice president of external affairs, and then that's what I've been doing for like this year and a half now, or whatever it's been.
Sweet. So, I mean, it's fun to have that transition from something completely uninvolved or like not actually your focus, and then be given that right direction of where you want to have your focus. Right. And Josh, how about you?
So yeah, I joined the club last August when I transferred from my community college to Mississippi State. And I really like wasn't going to join the esports club. Like I'd seen it and I'd heard about it, but I was like, they're probably not good. They're probably going to be boring. I didn't know because they were still growing at the time and really just starting fresh. But then I heard about the Esports Egg Bowl and the plans behind that. And so I tried out for the CSGO team and I made it. And then actually Jacob was on the CSGO team at the time. Good old days.
The good old days.
And he told me about the event and everything that they were having. And I went to that. And as soon as I got there, basically, Jay and Brian, who was kind of like an old VP, but his title wasn't VP, but he was like...
We were honestly like co-presidents.
Co-presidents, truthfully. Yeah.
Yeah, we were like co-presidents.
Yeah. And they were setting up tournaments, but they didn't know how to set up the brackets. And they saw me, and they were like, hey, do you know how to set up yeah, I can set up a bracket. I've done before. So I just started working on that and slowly got more involved with the club, became the event director.
Slowly, my ass. Sorry.
Okay, like 3 weeks.
It's all good.
Within three weeks, I was made event director after being a volunteer and everything. And then once the elections came around, I ran for vice president of internal affairs. I've been doing that ever since. My main focus has been with the events and the internal side of the community as far as the competitive side and everything. And I've loved it.
That's just, I mean, that basically epitomizes most of what I've heard around esports is someone's like, oh, I'm going to ease my way into it. And then they just go full hog into it. Yeah. And it's just like, that's the end. That's now their life. So that's pretty standard for the people who I've heard who really get into their roles. So that's pretty cool to hear that it's another trend along MSU's esports club. So tell me a little bit more about what's gone on over the last year. I mean, so like Jason, you and I talked back in like September of 2018 before the first Egg Bowl, which you all went on to win. So now it's like, okay, now this was the first year that you hosted the Egg Bowl as well as the first year of losing the Egg Bowl. So there's I see both of you shaking, all three of you shaking your heads now.
Yeah.
That's the reason I'm shaking my head like more than anything. Which
that one was rough.
I mean, yeah, well, what are you shaking your head for, man? Just let the people know. You got to let them know.
So I actually played in two of the games that we lost. So it was unfortunate. They were close games, and we did better in Call of Duty.
Tell them about the first game, Etsy. Tell them about the first.
The first game, I told them the day before, because I play on the Counter-Strike team and the Call of Duty team. And so before we played them in the Egg Bowl this year, I told them that we weren't going to win Counter-Strike. We were underprepared. We hadn't put the practice in. Cause
that's not what I wanted to hear the day
before. Yeah, it's not what you want to hear the day before the Egg Bowl at all. But it's just like, it's reality. So I'm like, I told them to expect what to expect. I didn't want them to get surprised. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went in, tried my best, but we ended up losing 16-9, which is the exact score that we beat them by last year. But yeah, it was just not enough practice because of preparing for the Egg Bowl, honestly. Like, we stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning the night before, like preparing and setting up everything for the Egg Bowl. And I went home, went to sleep, and then got back up at 6 and continued setting up and making sure everything was fine because we wanted it to be better, which it was.
It was.
But I'll let Jay talk more about that stuff.
Talking about the event and stuff?
Yeah, the actual event, and other than me losing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for the Egg Bowl. I mean, and that's been like a theme for us. It's just like everything we do, we just want it to be better, you know? So I think that's why a lot of the competition ended up falling to the wayside for us, because like a lot of the guys involved with the planning are always involved with the playing, because it's the same guys that care about competition are the same guys that care about the club. So like, yeah, our esports director at the time, Blaine, you know, he's like a Rocket League guy, and he was a Rocket League coach on top of doing his esports stuff, on top of being like the head of production essentially for the entire event. And then guys like Josh, same thing. It's like, you know, he's been doing planning for 6 to 8 weeks, but it's really hard to, you know, get your planning in, get your class, get your friend time in, and still, you know, make time for practice. But as far as the event goes, you know, making it better, that we did that. Like we definitely did, you know, like go above and beyond what Ole Miss did. And we were recognized for it. Like they even kind of gave us some recognition for it as soon as they got there, really.
Yeah.
And which is impressive to me, because I feel like it didn't look as good as maybe I wanted it to, or like we wanted it to. But it's still like, it was still way more than what anybody could have hoped for. But like I said, it just wasn't 100%. It was like 90% of what I wanted. But people, like I said, as soon as they got there, just before they even experienced, talked about how much better it was just looking and feeling, and, you know, like the strategies we used beforehand to get people excited about it. So I'm kind of honored to be able to say that, you know, the second one was better in all ways. And it's something that we like don't talk about at all for whatever reason, is the fact that Hexagrams was there.
Yeah.
Was a crazy, that's a crazy thing that goes even further back.
Yeah.
That story, like that, getting him there goes really far back. And I people don't know that story, I guess. And I mean, we can talk about it if you want to.
Yeah. I don't even know who Hexagrams is. So that's good to know that.
He's an Overwatch caster.
Yeah. Hexagrams is a caster for the Overwatch League.
You can tell him.
Yeah, he's done like professional casting and stuff. And are we telling him how we met and stuff, and how we got like connected with him?
For sure.
So
please do.
It was at the first homestand for the Overwatch League. Me and Jay had the opportunity of working that, and throughout the day, we didn't know what we were doing throughout this whole day, but we learned and adapted as quickly as we could. And then throughout the day, we met these people, and we got the opportunity of going to the after party after the second day.
It was the weekend after party. It was for the whole thing.
Yeah,
it was the final wrap-up party for the whole homestand. Yeah, it was
like the GameStop after party that was for the homestand, and we ended up just talking to all of these casters and stuff, and we ended up talking to Hex for about like 30, 45 minutes, and we were talking about like collegiate esports and how he really wanted to branch out into like he wanted to doing like hosting events and stuff. And we just reached out to him whenever we were looking for a host for the Egg Bowl, and
Twitter DM'd him.
Yeah, I think I DM'd him. And he was ecstatic. He was super excited to do it, and we figured out the logistics and stuff of it, and we got him out here. It was great.
He came down here and kicked ass. He was super easy about it too, because like, and we told him, you know, and that's been our thing, is like when we do all this stuff, is we be pretty honest and upfront about like what we do and don't know. And we told him, we were like, dude, we've never dealt with anybody like you before. So like, if you're coming here and expecting a bunch of structure, maybe you shouldn't sign that contract, because like, I don't, like I said, we've never done this before. So like, you're coming in here doing something that maybe you've never done before. And we're here doing something with you that we've never done before. So we're going to be working together on making this thing work. And he was awesome. I mean, that was one of the best experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
I've ever had.
He did a fantastic job.
He did a great job.
He really did make the event like a step above.
And we knew, and like, maybe you guys can talk about that if we want to, but like, we knew that he was the big piece for making the event better.
Oh, Mustafa.
Like there were big pieces to make the event better. Like, our production was really good for the event, but we knew that like, if he did well, the event would do well. Mm-hmm. Or if like he would carry us, then the event would be carried. And he did. Like he carried that event. And like I said, not to discredit all the work we did to make the event what it was, but like, he really made it so mm-hmm. much better than what we did. Just by being like who he is, honestly, it was great.
Personality. That was like our biggest outlook whenever we were doing the Egg Bowl this year. Is like, what did Ole Miss do successfully that we want to mm-hmm. bring in and make, you know, a traditional thing or like a regional thing? And then what did they do poorly that we can improve on? Mm-hmm. And I think we hit those keynotes, because we upped our production. Not that the production was bad, but they had audio issues.
They just had never done it before.
Yeah, and we made sure that our production was good enough to where it was enjoyable for our Twitch viewers and the people in the crowd. And then also having a host that would come in and carry the show, because they didn't really have that last year. And I think it added to the aesthetic of making collegiate esports feel more professional and more eccentric. So it was really good.
A lot of the success from like our guys as well, like our players and like volunteers and stuff, because their like knowledge of like how to do like broadcasts and stuff, like Nathaniel really helped us out with figuring out like how to just do the broadcasts and like how to set everything up. And we had our TV center guy, what was his name?
Garraway.
David Garraway. David Garraway really helped us out. He was like basically like the production like guy, like our host, or like the backstage like production like guy.
He's like the director. Yeah,
he was really helpful.
Yeah, it was awesome. And actually, I think we said that last year. Like, you know, one of the most like rewarding parts about this, and it's a lot of things, but like rewarding is a good word for it, I guess, is like seeing everybody come and help us put together an event like that, because like, we made it very clear, and we do it with everything, but you know, sometimes people don't get the message, but we just made it very clear, like, hey, this is big, you know, like, you know, last year's Egg Bowl was big and Bully Lamb was big and, you know, DreamHack's big, but like this really is like the big thing for us. And this is because for us, you know, like a lot of the school's administration comes to this event. Like I said, all the other things are important, but this is the one where all the people who could potentially give us money are coming to. So let's really try to impress them here right now when we can to their faces. And our guys just showed up and showed out in every way possible.
Intimidating. That's got to be intimidating to run an event like that so early into the new school year with so much new blood and like even people who have taken the summer off coming in and being like, okay, and you've probably worked over the summer to coordinate the Egg Bowl, and then you have that added pressure of administration from both schools showing up. And so now it's like you have your reputation on the line, you have future support on the line, and then you have actually just wanting to make the competition good. Like, that's quite the event to kick off the school year with.
And I would say the reason why our team is so impressive is because nobody thinks twice about them. Like when our team, and like I said, we're a team of 12, I think 12 or 13, but 12. Like there's not a single person on our team who was genuinely in their heart worried about doing poorly. Everybody on our team and everybody like that's a part of our, even the guys that are like volunteers and stuff, like those guys, those guys are like instrumental in the success of in our success, period. Like if it hasn't been for the volunteers for the first Egg Bowl, for the second Egg Bowl, for Bully Land, for even the events like Josh, because like guys like Josh are the reason why we've gotten where we've gotten, because and Josh downplayed it, but like I didn't ask him to do brackets. I said, Josh, I don't know how to do brackets, therefore you have to do these brackets. Like I handed him my laptop and said, do this. And that's just kind of like how we run our club. When somebody can't do something, it's like, all right, Duck, do you know how to do this thing? And he's like, all right, yeah, I know how to do this. And it's like, all right, Brian, do you know how to do this? And it's like, yeah, we have guys like that who are just, and it's like a stone cold determination to show people what we can do. And we've garnered that, like I said, just not only in our team of 12, but over that 50, that team of 50, you know, volunteers and guys like that. It's just, they're just, I don't, like I said, just stone cold determination is the only way I can describe it. It's great. We have a really good team over here, and like I said, even past the team, it's great.
Yeah, our club members are great, and we wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah, no way.
So, I mean, aside from Egg Bowl 3, going back to Ole Miss and hopefully winning that one on enemy territory.
We're winning it. We're already winning that.
Aside from that, I'm sure that you have a lot of plans coming in for the spring semester and figuring out what's next for the club. And so tell me more about like what's gone on with the club over the last year. Obviously the Egg Bowl was a big premier event, but like how have you grown? How is the new blood coming in? Did you double in size? Did you add like 100 more freshmen kind of to the roster of the esports club? What's been that last year and the start of this year been like?
So this year we've actually kind of developed our executive and board and volunteers like more efficiently. We've added a coordinator positions in our respective roles, so like production, event management, social media, and everything. And they've kind of helped us make the workload for us easier, because prior it was me, Jay, and Jacob kind of doing everything. Like we had Blaine on graphics, and then so our social media and all that, we did it. But this past year we've recruited freshmen and, you know, even a lot of seniors who've been in the club for a long time.
Even
and
people from out of the school.
Out of the school, yeah. People that not even associated with esports to come in and try their hand at something that they're maybe they're interested in or have a passion about or have no clue about and just want to try, and kind of got them involved. And it's helped us make our brand better and helped make our workload easier, as I said. And it's been great. We've had a lot of talented individuals come up, like Kit. He's our new graphics guy now. Yeah, love Kit.
Shout out Kit.
He's like our little brother. He's a freshman. He's just very talented as an individual, has a great head on his shoulders, and honestly I expect him to do great things in the future. But yeah, it's been great having new faces come in and want to help and be involved and just make our life easier.
We focus on a lot more on like getting people involved through other ways other than like being like competitive, like so like say that you're not good enough to like play on this team, well, we need you for like these events, and we need you, like we've just been focused on getting like everybody involved in like all of these separate ways recently. And it's been great to like see involvement like of people that's not like usually interested in esports and stuff like that. It's really cool.
And like you said too, like pulling a lot of people from outside of esports is like has been one of our like catalysts for growth, because it only takes like, I know Riley, like she's one of our girls who I texted just like one of my friends from home and was like, hey, I need people for a photo shoot. Like I just need some good looking people for a photo shoot that we're doing. We're doing like a video shoot if you got guys for that. She just sent me a couple girls who like do modeling at the school. Like they're part of like there's a modeling agency in Jackson. So they're all like a tightly knit group of like models, and they do creative stuff and graphic stuff. And she doing that thing with us pulled in like 20 to 30 other people who are interested in being models for us or photographers for us or graphic designers for us. So on pulling people outside of esports, it's been really more beneficial than trying to pull people from inside esports, just because the scene's not really here in the Southeast. And on top of like the growth we've had, I would say like staff and management wise, like we added what, like 8 teams or something like that.
We added, I think it was like six teams.
Six teams?
We had 12 last year, and now we're like 18, I think.
Something.
So I think we added six teams. Our Discord numbers went up 300 so far this past year. Our social media has gone up.
Blown up.
Six or 700?
Yeah, it's blown up. Yeah, social media is blown up.
Yeah, we just surpassed 2,000 followers. We're right behind LSU, actually. And our social media has done very well this year. Facebook's done well. Instagram, kind of not as best, but that's
because we're figuring out Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram's weird.
Esports is figuring out Instagram. Let's just be clear about that. Like, yes, no one is doing that real well.
Yes, it's so difficult because it's like the only thing in esports you really see on Instagram is like Fortnite clips or clips from different games, and it's kind of hard to incorporate that with our brand, I feel like. But
Twitch, yeah, nothing really well for us. Fits there. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Kind of like TikTok too. Like I see Rainbow Six clips TikTok, all the time on TikTok, trying. But like people are trying more. It seems like people are trying more on TikTok than they were on Instagram. Yeah. But like I just don't know how esports really fits into either one of those, other than just kind of rehashing some of the same content that you've posted on Twitter and Facebook and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not like you all are doing it poorly. It's just that no one has cracked that code.
We don't know what the code is exactly.
Yeah, we don't know, but we're determined actually to figure it out.
Kit, the guy we were talking about earlier, like came to us and was like, "Hey, I think this is how we should approach Instagram now, because it's not a secret. Like, you can look at the numbers, you can look at the posts. Like, it's not, we don't do very well on Instagram." So he, like I said, he came to us like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and you could tell, and we joke with him all the time, but it seems like half the time when he has a good idea, because like I'm full on to admit that I'm an idiot. Like I don't have any issue with admitting that like I'm a dummy and I don't know hardly anything. But he it seems like he had to work up the courage to let us know. But he's one of those guys that has good ideas. I think we're gonna be seeing different types of content on our Instagram now. Hoping that we can like pull an audience, because like I said, right now it's just not a secret that we don't, and a lot of guys don't, and we're gonna try to figure, like you said, that code out so that we can kind of utilize it more.
So I mean, tremendous growth. You're talking about strategy, like content strategy. I remember your billboard advertisement that went up. That was really cool to see. More traditional media, but so, and with the all the modeling agency help and the 20-30 people who came out to help without really being involved with esports, how have you seen like the other departments and like majors coming into esports and helping out? Like when we were first talking, it was very small, and like you were figuring it out, and there wasn't really a whole lot of diversity across the club. But how's that changed over the year?
I had done it. You want me to hit on it?
Yeah. If diversity, you hit on it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I we talked about it. We just got back from a leadership conference, actually, and that was one of the topics. And we're not a diverse club as a whole, you know, like from a true number standpoint, like we're just not. Like I would say we're like 90% straight white male. But past that, like we do get a lot of LGBT. Like the women in our club have started to like kind of ramp up, because I know it's one of those things, like, from the outside looking in, if you see 600 guys standing in a spot, it's kind of hard to want to be the one woman or the two women in the club. So, you know, they come and they go, and we try to get like a central group of women in the club so that more women will start to feel comfortable in the club. And same thing with our LGBTQ community. And those are like the two biggest minority communities we have, I would say. Because like, even for us, it's like the any other demographic, it's just like hard to hit on generally in our region, just because like we're in the deep south, but just like because of esports and what esports is, it's hard to fight the diversity bug, even though, like I said, that's one of our biggest things. That's something we push for every day, is inclusion. But as far as like the majors and stuff go, like I know I ran a report, but I just looked at a bunch of numbers on a spreadsheet. I think we're still something like 80% computer science in our paid membership. But that's a good thing, because a lot of the guys that are in the club need the skills that the club provides, because they get all the other skills everywhere else. Like, because a lot of the engineers and stuff that we have in the club are the guys that need social skills or need to be a part of the team so that they know how team environments work. Because like we talk about all the time, we all come from sports backgrounds. So, you know, jumping into like a team environment to play games is just as easy for us to jump into a work environment to do work. And a lot of these guys have never done any of those things. They've never been on a sports team. They've never been on a work team. And they've never been on like a competitive video game team. So a lot of the things that they learn here, and those engineers in that demographic learn here, is more useful to like anybody else, I would say.
I definitely agree. Go ahead,
yeah,
Josh.
And touch a little bit more on that. We have actually a lot more females that are invested in our club than people are really surprised. Like, mm-hmm. one of the big things that people said when they came to the Esports Egg Bowl was there are a lot of women here. Because we had we had a lot of girlfriends. We had a lot of actual people, members in the club that came and showed up.
Students
just to come and watch and support. We actually had one of our female basketball players saw us the day before setting up and came up, and we had a full-fledged conversation about video games because she plays video games and she likes watching video games. And this is like a potential, you know, future WNBA.
We have a really good women's basketball team.
Yeah, our women's basketball team is great. But she was interested, and we invited her out, and she was like, yeah, I'll come and see that. I'm not sure if she actually came out and saw it, if she had time for it. She did. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's really cool. And then also just recently we had a girl trial for Overwatch League A team. To be playing on that. A girl in our Overwatch League B team. We have a girl in our Rainbow Six A team as a sub that would be starting if it wasn't for one of our old players coming back to play on the team. So yeah, we have a lot of like, I feel like for a school in the South, we have a lot of representation on the female side, which is surprising to say the least, because you wouldn't really expect that from Mississippi State, in my opinion.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, if you have a reputation, especially with your women's basketball team, like that, there's notoriety there. And if she is involved in some way now, and then if she goes off to be part of the WNBA and everything, she can always come back. And that's cross traditional sport to esports leverage that you all can use, and like that brings a whole lot of attention along with it. So I mean, while you're there, you are part of Mississippi State's brand, so use it in every way possible. It really rings true, and you see a lot of traditional sports athletes getting involved with esports now. So this is just another one of those avenues that may pay off in like 2 to 3 years or have a positive consequence to the club, which will be really cool to see, actually.
No, yeah, I agree. And I don't know if you know the reason we just looked at each other. I don't know if you know, but We Ring True is like our that's like one of our school's mottos. So it's funny.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I thought you said that like on purpose and you just slipped it in there. But that's why we all kind of looked at each other. I was like, damn, did he? I was like, that was good if he just slipped it in there.
Well, now I'm going to have to start researching different clubs or schools' mottos and start slipping that into each of the podcasts.
That's funny.
That's great.
Oh. I mean, so
no, I mean, it's go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. You had something else.
I was just going to say that it's been like a blurry year of growth. Like I could definitely say that if you asked Spotify, you know, like the growth we've had since the Egg Bowl last year to like the Egg Bowl this year, it's really blurry just because like we've done a lot of admittedly cool shit, like big cool shit that's gone really well for us, that's not gone really well for us, and on both sides yielded different results for us, because even like the big successes sometimes don't give us, you know, the fruits that we had hoped.
You got an example of
a lot of times. What's that?
You got an example of something that went well and something that didn't go well?
Can we tell them about
the, this is it.
We can't say the name, but about the Egg Bowl and the 2 weeks before the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, all right, go ahead, Jacob.
I started.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so
this is like pretty big news. Nobody knows about this, and it's a pretty messed up.
This was a situation that it was just like it never should have happened in the first place. It
never should have happened.
Know that it was happening, and we found out in a very not good way, but. So there was this company that we were in talks with that were supposed to be helping us get sponsorships more easily for like events or whatever. So the first test of this was for them to help us get PCs and stuff for the Egg Bowl and like peripherals or whatever else that we needed.
Hardware
for the Egg Bowl. Mm-hmm. So we were having like meetings with them and stuff and like talking about everything that was going to be going on for the Egg Bowl, what we needed, like specifics for hardware and stuff. And then about, it was like a week or two?
Two weeks
before the Egg Bowl. Jay can pick up here if he wants 2 weeks before the Egg Bowl.
So 2 weeks before the Egg Bowl, I got an email from NVIDIA, and they, you know, they're one of our supporters, and shout out Dom for supporting us, honestly, most of the time when he doesn't, shouldn't, honestly, and doesn't have to. So shout out NVIDIA and Dom for that. But he emailed me because we had a regular, I had applied for event support with NVIDIA like 3 months prior, because I know like them and Corsair really prefer that over like, you know, sending them their 4 to 6 weeks or whatever, just because there's so much stuff that goes on, it piles up so quick. So like I said, I had this meeting scheduled with him for felt like months, and I think it was months. But we get in our meeting and he's like, hey man, you know, I know you've got some other people wanting to support the event. I really want to support the event, but I want to do what makes the most sense for me and for you. So whatever you're getting for everybody else, I need to know, period. Just like whatever it is, so I don't send you the same stuff, you know, and that makes perfect sense. So he's like, and honestly, I really need it by like an hour ago, but you know, I'll give you like 2 or 3 days. And it was like Thursday, I think. And we were actually getting ready to leave for Battle for Texas.
Yep.
For
yes, land. We were going to Battle for Texas.
So we were getting ready to leave for land that weekend. So mine and Jacob's state of mind was, let's wrap everything up for the Egg Bowl before we leave for this land. Because when we get back for this land, it's go time. Like when we get back on Monday and the Egg Bowl's on Saturday, that's it. You know, the event's just happening.
Right.
So like I said, that weekend, those last couple of days was for us to tie up loose ends for the event. And so, you know, we reached out to this company after NVIDIA told me that, and, you know, this whole time we'd been talking about, you know, they were going to get us headsets and they were going to get us PCs and they were going to get us, you know, keyboard, everything literally from top down, from headset to whatever's on your feet. And you know, I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, I know we're probably doing 24 setups, but can you send me exacts? You know, are you sending any marketing materials? Are you sending any peripherals? Are you sending extras? What are you sending so I can tell NVIDIA? I just told them straight up. They're like, yeah man, cool, you know, probably not gonna be able to make it happen today, but we'll get it to you tomorrow. And I was like, cool, that's completely fine. I let NVIDIA know, they were cool with it. So the plan was to let NVIDIA know on Friday what was going on. I didn't hear back from that company the whole weekend. Like didn't hear back from them the whole weekend. So Thursday rolled through, wasn't a big deal. Like I said, we talked on Thursday. Friday, shot him a message just saying, hey, you know, I really have to have this stuff to NVIDIA by today. You know, could you shoot me something so that I can give them something so that I don't get messed up here? And the weekend passed, and I truthfully wasn't super worried about it because we were in Texas playing in a LAN, and I was competing at the time. And we got back. I remember we got back and, you know, NVIDIA was trying to figure out what was going on. And we're trying to make sure that we're still good with our sponsors and stuff because the event's like this week. actually, I think it was 3 weeks at this time. So it's 3 weeks, not 2 weeks for the event. So we get back with 2 weeks left until the Egg Bowl. So like I said, we get back and that Monday, I emailed everybody and I was like, yo, guys, I have to have answers today for a lot of people. And I did at that point. Like the school was asking for like answers on what the facility was going to look like and what the venue was going to be, and you know, where are you putting this, where are you putting that, where is this being shipped to. So like I said, I was answering to a lot of people, and they threw us in an email chain after I asked them for all that email or for all the information. They threw us in an email chain with my contact at Corsair. Like I have a contact at Corsair for the collegiate program, asking for event support for the first, like they threw us in there too. Like it's 10 working days, 10 business days.
We've been talking with this company for the 12 past,
weeks
12 was, weeks
yeah, we were
every
having
Monday
weekly meetings weekly
at 12
meetings.
We were having weekly meetings.
They originally came in at wanting to like help us build an esports facility.
Yeah,
and that's what caught our eye, and our school's like test for them was the Egg Bowl.
Yeah,
like so if the Egg Bowl went well, they were going to help us build an esports facility more than likely, and
make money off of it, because they wanted to come in and make, and you know, it was obviously everybody's like here to make money, like the school wants to make money, companies want to make money, but you know, like Josh said, they came in and it was like, hey, we want to build an esports stadium, and they were like, that sounds great, but we don't know what you're talking about, so while we try to figure out what you're talking about, help the kid. Yeah, wow. that was interesting. So I obviously know, and of all of them, and I don't know if she'll end up seeing this, but of all of the collegiate programs, I would say Corsair is like the most strict. Like they have like the most strict like guidelines and regulations to get their support. And like I don't think that's a bad thing. They just are. So like I said, I know when I got thrown in that email that was gonna piss her off, because I was like that. I was like I went to her, you know, last year for event support and did it kind of the wrong way and felt like she bit my head off, and she should have, like she I deserved it if she did. But so I immediately emailed and I'm like, hey, I know how this works. Like, sorry for this. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'll call you soon. Like, I'm going to fixing mode. I let Josh and Jacob know. I'm like, hey, you know, we're in a bad situation right now. I have to literally stop everything I'm doing right now and call everything. So I literally did. I remember like leaving wherever I was. And I went and sat in our like veterans affairs office and I just called everybody. I called first, like I said, at first I called Jacob and Josh, and then I think I called my parents to let them know what's going on. And then I started calling everybody in esports. I called Tespa, I called Abba Power, I called Corsair to apologize and let them know the situation. I called Nvidia to let them know what was going on. And I don't know if I said Abba Power, but I called them. So I called Abba Power first, I think, after I told Nvidia what was going on. And they said that they could send 16 PCs. Abba Power did. They were like, look, we don't, because, and we had worked with them for, Bullyland. So they I think really enjoyed working with us, and we really enjoyed working with them, so they were willing to send some more PCs out. So they immediately pledged 16 of 24 that we absolutely had to have, because at this point we had on that Monday we have zero PCs. 9 business days before the biggest event of felt like my life, and I would say to this day still the biggest event of my life. So we get 16 of 24, so we're all right, we can breathe a little bit. Nvidia, you know, we call Nvidia and let them know, and we're like, hey, we still need 8, you know, and Nvidia had like really bent over backwards for Bullyland because Abba Power's PCs got caught up last year, like hours before the event. Like I found out, you know, 8 hours before my event started that there had been like 6 PCs caught up in Memphis because they were damaged, and nobody from anywhere let me know until I called because I was waiting on a shipment at midnight. And I was like, look, I don't think anybody's dropping off these PCs at midnight. So like I said, so Nvidia saved us last year because we had a similar situation where PCs didn't show up. So they told us, he was like, look, I have 8, but the situation is like, there's everything going on in esports this weekend. It was the weekend of TwitchCon. So he was like, everything going on in esports. He was like, there's no loaner PCs free in anywhere in esports. He was like, there's just not. And he was like, if you find some, great. But he was like, I'm just, you know, you can look around and tell. And so he was like, you know, you can have them, but we have an event going on this weekend. We have a collegiate event where those PCs that you want are here. And I have no way to get them from here to there unless you can either talk them into sending them or come get them yourself. That's like, that was like all he could offer. And people try to give them, like when we used to tell this story to like the couple of friends that we did when it happened, people kind of wanted to like say Nvidia should have done more, but like they were already giving us, $10,000 worth of PCs for free, All they asked for was pictures and a couple other things, you know, they were doing us very, very well. So like I said, that's what Nvidia said they could do. That, you know, they're like, you can either come get them yourselves or you can talk to the club that's hosting this event, and try to get them to ship them out to you after their event. And he was like, and I'll be more than happy to put you guys in a call off so you can ask them that. So I did. I got in there and I explained the situation, and I was just like, look, man, I'm just shit out of luck right now, and I need 8 PCs. And she was like, I'll ask my team, but you know, this is a college event. We're a collegiate club. It was in UCS. It was in, the University of California in San Diego. So she's like, look, that's, you know, I'll try and I feel for you. And if it was up to me, yes, but it's not just up to me. So I'll ask my team. If they say yes, we'll do it. If they say no, you're going to have to figure something out. So she asked them, and they, you know, obviously said no, because unreasonable to ask a bunch of college kids to send 8 PCs to a group of kids that have nothing to do with them. You know what I mean? It's just, it made perfect sense. So, you know, she told us that, and we were like, all right. So our first plan was to fly out to California, physically grab the PCs and drive them back on a U-Haul. That was the plan. If we had a vehicle that could have handled all of the PCs, we would have drove both ways, no questions. Yeah. That, like, if we would have had a big truck that one of us owned, we would have drove both ways that day, no questions. Like, I feel like we would have just jumped in the car. But we ended up looking up the price of the U-Haul, and the U-Haul, the smallest like drivable U-Haul cost like $2,000. Yeah. So we were like, all right, that's out. So we ended up just looking at other options, and what we ended up doing was we booked 4 days before, was it 4 days before the Egg Bowl?
I don't know what day we left.
It was a lot. It was, like I said, it gets muddy because it happened so fast.
I don't remember the exact day.
Regardless of what it was, very close to the Egg Bowl, Jacob, myself, and our social media coordinator, Allie, shout out Allie because she's actually the one who sent us, her and her family. We bought $700 a piece plane tickets to San Diego for like the next day.
We literally left like the next morning.
We left like 6 a.m. the next morning after we met with the company, because the company did kind of try to make it right. Like once they realized the things were going wrong that were going on, they kind of tried to make it right. But like just like the options weren't great for trying to fix the situation. So, and we were honestly kind of angry about the whole thing and like didn't want them to be able to, we didn't want them to be able to put the ribbon on it and say, you know, we did this.
Totally.
So, you know, we bought those plane tickets after kind of finding out that we weren't going to be able to do anything with it, or with them. And like I said, we got out there, I want to say 6 a.m. or something like, no, we got there, we left 6 a.m. So we got there at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
We got there at the nighttime during the event.
We missed our flight.
We did miss our flight so, in Dallas.
Oh my gosh, the story just keeps unraveling.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. And honestly, every story we have like this is like this.
Also, Jay lost his wallet on the way back.
Oh my God, yeah. So we take our flight. Yeah, we take our flight from Jackson, Mississippi. So we had to drive 2 hours to go to our flights in the first place. We do that. We fly from Jackson to Dallas, and we decided we have a pretty good network in Dallas. Like a lot of people know, like we have our friends are in Dallas. So one of our friends was like, "Hey, you guys have a 2 hour layover. Let's get some." We go to this place called Mike's. And shout out Will. So Mike's is the best chicken place hands down in all of the world. So we stopped. He comes to the airport to give us Mike's, and we ate with him for a little bit, and we ended up missing our flight because of that. Like we ended up missing, we got confused.
The wrong side of the airport.
We were on the wrong side of the airport, and he didn't drive us to where we needed to be. And we're just a bunch of 20-year-olds not paying attention. Truthfully, that's just what it is. Like we just weren't paying attention, and missed our flight to San Diego. And there was only one more flight to San Diego. There was only one more. And if we couldn't get on that one, because for this trip, we weren't staying anywhere. We were going to San Diego, picking up the PCs, and we were flying back. Like that was it. So this would have like, and we don't have any money. Like we had to beg Allie's parents for the plane tickets. Like we had $0. So we just knew what could happen, you know, as a result of us missing that plane or that flight. And what ended up happening was we got the last three seats on the next flight to San Diego. Like they were able to move us to the next plane, and we got the, like I said, the very last seats on the next flight to San Diego. Mm-hmm. So we got to San Diego and we showed up at the venue, at 6-7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Went through the event, worked as NVIDIA employees because NVIDIA was there. Like Dom was there. So he threw us t-shirts and was like, "Hey, y'all are here for this, but y'all ain't doing nothing. So work." So he threw us some t-shirts and we worked for a little bit. And then at the end of the day, we boxed everything up, marketing materials, PCs, monitors, and sent it all back to ourselves, like boxed it all up, sent it all back to ourselves. And
Uber to the airport, slept in the airport.
No. So we went to the gas station, after we went to FedEx. Yeah, so one of the guys that was there at the event, like drove us to the FedEx and stuff, like at Grace, drove us there and ended up dropping us off at the gas station. We were like, "Look, we can just Uber. We're not going to ask you to bring us to the airport or bring us anywhere else. Just leave us at the gas station. We'll get snacks and we'll be out of here." So I remember we had a budget. Like the club gave us some money for being in California. And I was like, "Guys, I have like $20 left. So like, let's buy some candy or something." I was like, let's just ball out and buy some candy. So everybody, like we walk in the 7-Eleven and we, you know, Jacob grabs a bunch of drinks and Allie grabs a couple snacks and I grab a bunch of snacks and we get to the thing and I'm like, "All right, I'll pay." And I pull out my wallet, or I go to pull out my wallet, and it's not there. and we're like, you know, we're 4 hours away. Cause what we're getting ready to do is go sit in the airport for like 4 hours to take a nap, to take our 6 a.m. flight. Cause it's like midnight at this point.
Yep.
So my wallet's not there. And like I said, we knew that the only next place we had to go was to the airport. Like there was nothing else we could do. So we just went and hoped for the best. They ended up like screening me, and I didn't know they did this, but they asked you like a bunch of questions to confirm your identity. And they ended up letting me go. We found my wallet. They emailed me while I was asleep on that plane back to Dallas. They emailed me saying they had my wallet and I had to pay like $50 to get it back. But we ended up shipping the PCs back to Mississippi. They got here in time. We sent them all back and the Egg Bowl went off without a hitch.
Yep.
Yep. Was great. Nobody knew.
Not a single hitch. Nobody knew. And nobody still knows until people know now.
Yeah, because we didn't tell a single club member of this.
No.
Nobody knew. After the event.
We didn't even tell the school's administration until after we had gotten the PCs.
Yeah. Because it looks embarrassing on our part because it looks like we just sat around and did nothing, which wasn't the case. We could have done what this company was doing. We were just like, hey, we can focus on the more important things like the production and everything to make this a bit better if they can focus on the peripherals. And then also we can get an esports room after the fact.
Right.
And it did not go well. I almost said their name when I was talking about it right there.
Yeah, it didn't go too well.
Yeah,
it didn't go well at all. Yeah, I mean,
that's an interesting story.
That is a phenomenal story. I'd be curious to find out what you all are going to do moving forward to improve your communications to make sure that like stuff like that doesn't happen again.
And that's all it is. And it was a learning experience for us because like we know we should have just been like one, keeping up more and holding those guys more accountable throughout those 12 weeks of meetings. And also like knowing that, because I mentioned to Jacob and Josh, you know, very early on, like because the two companies that were in the conversation from the beginning were HyperX and Corsair. And I remember telling like we had a conversation about it. We have contacts there. So I was like, this might be weird because like I know these people. So I was like, I don't know if they're gonna think this is weird because they know me, you know, like so it was one of those things where we knew we maybe should have just like started a formal communication anyway with them prior to the company reaching out. And like I said, it was a learning experience. We learned a lot from it. So it's the only way you can look at it at this point.
I have to admit, like that sounds like some of the stories I have from working in the games industry and like going through a couple of releases, and there's always those scary moments when it seems like the train is entirely derailed and you still just have to find a way to get through it. So I don't think that this is as uncommon or as critical as it seemed to you all as it really is. Like this is probably more normal than you would expect. And like throwing off an event like the Egg Bowl, let alone like a regular just kind of streamed event, like there's bound to be problems like this. But the fact that you guys flew out to California, managed it all yourselves, and then just flew it all back, like that's just resourcefulness and determination. Like that's, I mean, that was not what you even planned to do in the first place. Like you just scrounged and scrounged and figured it out, and like that's all you can ask from a team, a production staff, anything. You find a way to make it work.
Yep, just make it happen. Mm-hmm. Part of it and making it happen has just kind of been our MO recently. Yeah, it's just, you know, whatever bad happens, that's part of it. And then anything past it, we just have to figure it out, get through it.
So we've talked a lot about like the administrative side of the club and a little bit of the growth. Where is the club's activity growing on campus? And you even mentioned going out to the Texas LAN. So is there more plans for attending more LANs out of state? Or what, Josh, like what are your events planned for on campus like this year?
So this year we are kind of waiting with the option of repeating the Bully LAN from last year. It costs a lot of money for our production. We actually found out that compared to other schools, our school costs a little bit more when it comes to reserving rooms and production. It's probably because of how we push the bar. The majority of other schools do the production side that we do. Like we hire our TV center to come in and make sure we have the best possible stream.
We have TV quality production.
And so we have to pay for that. So right now we're going to be looking at possibly hosting Bully LAN again and getting the financial money for that settled in the next 2 months, and if we're able to secure that, then Bully LAN will be a go possibly. And if not, then we're just going to send a bunch of teams to LANs, honestly, and host our normal, you know, smaller, more community-driven events here, and try to get what we failed to get this past semester going with our esports room. It's public knowledge now, right? That we have
now it is. I'm fine with that too.
I'm pretty sure it's mostly public knowledge in our club. Yeah. We have a reserved space on campus. Mm-hmm. That is our room for the esports room. It just has to be torn down and rebuilt, and then it has to be filled with peripherals. So we just have to talk to people to get the money to get the construction going, and then also peripheral companies and PC companies.
Yep.
That's the plan so far for the semester, I think. Did I leave anything else? And production to...
That's pretty much it. I mean, community events. And then, like Josh said, sending teams to places. And not just sending teams to places at this point. Sending our teams places to compete and win. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we talked about it last year. Like, Josh and I... And for sure, I could say this with confidence. Like, Josh and I last year, our biggest focuses were the players. Like the competition and the players. And we wanted those guys to do well. But... you know, after a certain point, I remember Josh and I had a conversation about it, and it was like, you know, it's really hard to hold these guys accountable for winning or for practicing or for this or that when we don't give them the tools to do any, you know. Nope. So we really like buckled down on making sure that we could give them kind of the resources to succeed as a team. And we're still nowhere near where we need to be in terms of giving them the resources that they need. But they've gotten a lot more, and you can tell. And it's simple stuff from understanding how a team works to understanding like how to schedule scrims and how to communicate with other teams on a day-to-day basis. So now that we've kind of given those guys that framework for how to run a successful team, we want to see results. And that's just the fact of it. We already have, like we brought the guys to DreamHack, and I think we brought six teams total or something like that, but everybody plays top three. Yep. Overwatch lost in final. Everybody lost in finals except for Siege, who won, and then League didn't make it to finals. They lost in semis. Yeah. So it was one of the first weekends where we realized, like, okay, these guys are taking it serious to a degree at the very least. Yeah. So that's hopefully we can kind of make a name for ourselves in the competition world and not just in like the branding world, because that's how we have made the name for ourselves otherwise, is just having a good presence on social media. So like I said, I hope that we can win some more tournaments this year to kind of make a name for ourselves.
Most definitely. Yeah, we just got to build it, and they'll come, and the championships will come, and everything else will come.
I mean, you can't complain about that. I mean, along with your branding, it's been a very community-driven effort, and it's been something that's been very focused internally. It's nice to see you all branching out and starting to go more external and see how far reaching you can go, especially with being able to send teams out to lands and everything. That's a great place to be at, knowing that the next step of your growth is believing in the students that you have promoted to leadership and to managers and coaches, and just seeing what they're capable of doing and seeing what you're capable of bringing to MSU. Knowing that things change, and like Jason, you're not going to be president forever unless MSU right. decides to hire a faculty member kind of deal.
They're not doing that. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. I can promise you that.
He's been up that tree.
Yeah. I've climbed that tree. Yeah, it's not happening anytime soon, at least. It'll probably happen about 5 years after Ole Miss is done paying their esports director six figures. That's probably when State will finally decide to catch up, I guess, because it seems like we talked about it, you know, and that's been the hope with all of this, is that, you know, we can always kind of leverage the relationship between us and Ole Miss Esports to get things done quicker. And it's worked in a lot of ways. But I think we've just kind of found that State is just slow on tech things. That's just like a fact of the matter. Our school is just slow to catch up on tech advances, and esports kind of falls into tech advances. And they'll just be slow to it. I think they're very interested in, you know, we met with the president a couple of times. They're really interested in the live entertainment aspect of it, which is like the money making part of it, which is great for me. And I have no issue with that. I don't think anybody in our team has a problem with that. But because of that, they're not really interested in any other part of it. Yeah. So it's just a little bit, it's been kind of difficult to push in for a full-fledged program, because it's just not on the radar of things to do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, aside from that, like, right. when you think about it in context, like, the fact that they're not willing to hire a faculty member yet, but they support you in the ways that they have been, and, like, you're even on campus and supported that way, like, that's, and having the dedicated space, there's so many clubs that don't even get that level of support, right. and it's, yeah, right. it's not that you're slow, it's not anything. I think that everyone who's ahead of the pack, and I think you guys are in that leading pack of collegiate esport for sure. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just early. No one's right. really like, this is like traditional, traditional esports. This is early esports, like pre-2010. Mm-hmm. This is right. kind of like where everything's at. I think it'll go a lot faster. I don't think you'll have to wait until 7 years before collegiate esports has really taken off kind of thing. I think it's going to ramp up fast, especially with like middle school and high school esports also ramping up right now.
Right.
Yep. So it's going to go fast and people are going to jump on board, and you guys are really in a strong position to take full advantage of being in being the early birds. And so not having a faculty member, I don't think is like detrimental to a successful club, because you all are building brand, you're building awareness, you are competing. Like those are kind of the big things. And as soon as you start bringing students in to go to that college because of your club, because of what name you've built for yourselves, the school has no option but to pay attention.
Right. Most definitely. And that's so, and that's why we push how we push. And also, like you said, like the support that they do give is like, I would say more than what 90% of people receive in the country. And that's the issue with like me more than probably these guys, I would say, and they can speak for themselves. But like they could be paying me and it still wouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like they could be paying all of us and it still wouldn't be good enough. Like I'd still be looking. We would probably still be looking for what's next or what's the next best thing that we can have or do. Or you know what's the framework that they can provide us with?
They're always going too slow for us.
Exactly. And we've made, you know, crazy steps in the past 2 years. Like the number that we always like, and I'll always like to throw out, is going from 30 members to 800 in less than 2 years. Like, and I used to say 30 to 500 in less than a year. Like that's not something that people just do, you know? And even during that time, we were super impatient. I hope it's nothing or something that ever goes away, because it's something that I've always kind of used to my advantage. But like I said, they do us really well compared to a lot of other people. The only place I would say they wouldn't is money. And truthfully, we've talked about it. The only reason they don't put money into us all the time probably is because we actually have good sports teams. That's it. Because a lot of these schools that even and not to even like in a bad way throw shade, but like Ole Miss hasn't won anything in a while in the real sports world. Like I think they won a baseball championship like 3 years ago, which is good. But in terms like they've been bowl banned for like 6 years or something like that. They're not noticeable in any other sports. At least for me, like I don't notice them anywhere else. And then guys like Missouri who have, you know, a $200,000 facility. They're bowl banned forever, seems like. So a lot of the schools and guys like UTD, they don't have athletic programs to funnel money into. So they look for the next best thing. And right now, the next best thing is esports. If you don't have we have the best team in college baseball. We have the best field in college baseball and one of the best women's basketball teams in women's basketball. So when there's someone to support other than regular sports is esports. But for us, it's just not that time. So it'll happen. But like you said, probably just slower than what I'd like or they like or anybody in the scene might like.
And yet you all are still here pushing, asking, telling, taking everything that you guys can get. Every inch you guys are taking, every percent that you want things to be better, you are making it happen. So I mean, you guys are ground zero. I'm just here kind of looming over everyone and being like, hey, what's up, how's it going? And you all are pulling your hair out, stressing out about whether or not you're gonna have computers for your next event. So, I mean, everything you all are doing is just absolutely impressive, period. And this is how I feel about every collegiate club that I've talked to. And so you guys are among, in my mind, the elite who are just doing the work. Everyone in these administrative positions in their esports clubs are people I would hire in my profession. And knowing that they would be in production or in some leadership position and making shit happen. You may not ever get to where you want your collegiate club to be at in your collegiate career, but it's going to get there. It will get to the vision, and you all have to take that feather in your hat and say, you helped make that happen. And I really hope you all take advantage of that and really, really do internalize that feeling that you all helped make that happen. So thanks for doing what you do. It helps me make a podcast. It helps me be involved in esports, and I'm happy to boost the signal about anything y'all are doing. So please feel free to reach out to me about anything. We're getting down to the end of the hour. See, it goes by real fast, doesn't it? So if there's anything else that you wanted to toss out about MSU esports, about what you all do, any other shout outs to other people, please, by all means, just lay it all out there.
Give it to him, Mitzi.
So yeah, you can follow us on esports_MSU. Also, we are known as Triple J, and that's a brand that we're going to be pushing. We're having our own podcast that we're going to be starting this coming up Friday, and it should be released on Sunday. So yeah, if you guys are interested in learning,
hold med C to that if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, hold med C to that.
If it doesn't get published on Sunday, that's med C.
But that's
for me, actually.
Yeah, all of us, honestly, we're all together in this. Yeah, that should be coming out Sunday and kind of get more of an in look what we do behind the scenes and our personal life and the MSU esports and what we want to do for our future and how we want to be. So yep, that's pretty much it.
Really appreciate you having us again. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, I
thoroughly enjoy being on this podcast. So I appreciate you having us again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, no problem. I mean, and like I said, anytime anything's going on or you all are doing something special, feel free to either leave a message on the podcast or just ask to come on again, and we can coordinate something and make it happen. Like absolutely. I really want to boost any club that's doing work. So you all are doing more than enough. So, or if you have a funny story, I'm happy to just loop that in too.
We got plenty of funny. I just wrote so many of them down because, like he said, we're kind of getting started on the content grind for Triple J, which we call ourselves, I guess. And I just wrote down like a bunch of. I went through just esports stories, like just from MSU esports, and I'm not done writing. Like I stopped to come play games because I've written down so many things. So we've got some, and maybe we'll take you up on that soon.
There you go. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, we can wrap on up and let you all go play some Astroneer.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Wait.
All right. Thanks, man. Guys. I will talk to you all later, and thanks for coming on the show.
All right.
Thanks so much for having us, man.
Take it easy.
Later, guys.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the podcast.